Genesis 32, verse 24. And I'm just going to go ahead and start reading on it. It says, "And then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day." It says, "Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip. And the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaks.' But he said, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' And he said, 'So he said unto him, What is your name?' And he said, 'My name is Jacob.' And he said, 'Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men, and you have prevailed.' Then Jacob asked, saying, 'Tell me your name, I pray.' And he said, 'Why is it that you ask me about my name?' And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, 'For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved.'" Now, I don't know about you, but there's a lot of places in my life where I feel like I'm just holding on. I know there's a lot of times in my past that there were times in my life that I felt like sometimes I was really just holding on by a thread. I know there's been struggles. I know I've had weaknesses. I know I've had issues. And, you know, I remember back, when I do remember back at those times, is the feeling of desperacy and the feeling of heaviness of not knowing what to do. And the term is, sometimes we just hold on by a prayer. Anybody ever been there, thought that? I'm just holding on by a prayer. And so what I called today, the message I felt like the Lord gave me was, just keep hanging on. Now, when you think of that, there's an easier way to think of it, because you can let it be heavy and hard if you want to, because I know there's been times in my marriage I've had to hold on. There's been times in my finances I was just trying to, there's been times in ministry, there's been times in health. Miss Cindy, she's had to go up, but I know this, over the last 6 to 8 weeks, Miss Cindy has just been holding on. And the enemy just really came at her in a mighty way. Said, there's times in your life you're just holding on. I mean, financially, you're probably just holding on in some areas. At job, you may feel like you're just holding on. I want you to know something today. You can keep holding on, and we're going to go over the process of how you keep holding on this morning. But Joe, let's go through some pictures. When you talk about holding on, you know, Jacob here, I see when he says, "I will not let you go." He came up with the idea of, I picture in my mind comical ways, but, you know, it seems like a lot of times everybody else will have it together and you're doing all you can do just to stay even or level. And so when I saw these frogs, I thought, you know what, I felt like the frog a bunch of times. All right, let's go to the next one. Yeah, I know this. I've been at places in my life where I've been trying to hold on, and I've learned this. Like in this picture, when I saw this picture, I thought, you know, this kid is not mature enough or strong enough to hold on here for very much longer. And you can tell that in his face, that he's about to, his fingers are on the grasp of it, and he's about to give, and he's about to go. I've been there a million times. Go ahead. Now, this is a different kind of picture. This is one of those, you better hold on for dear life. And now that I have 3 little girls, I'm in this feeling a lot, a lot, a lot. I've got an 8-year-old or 9-year-old that thinks she's 21. And just this week, me and her had a full-blown adult argument. I come back and say, "Girl, you are 9 years old. You don't talk to adults." I mean, in parenting, in these situations, they're telling me, I'm just holding on. I know this, Dr. Dobson said this, and I read this years ago. When you have teenagers, there's one thing you need to remember. From the age of 12 to the age of 20, just hold on. Whatever it takes, hold on. Because there is no map, there is no book, there is nothing that, the best advice you can give a parent is, there's going to be times you're just going to have to hold on. Alright, so we got that one, let's go to the next one. Alright, there have been times where I was the rat And I felt like, oh, you know, I didn't even deserve to get to keep holding on, but I sure am glad that I was able to. Let's go to the next one. But this is the one that I have felt like mostly in my life when it came to holding on. I love this picture. If you've ever been in any kind of office buildings and those kind of things, you've probably seen this sitting around. But I love the fact that the truth is, in a lot of areas of my life, if I wouldn't have kept holding on, it would have been over for me. And in this picture, if that frog were to let go, he would be gone. But you also need to understand the other side of that. If he can hold on long enough, that bird will be gone. And so I'm here to tell you this today. You can hold on long enough to get through this thing you're going through, as long as you don't give up. We're going to jump into the topic real quick this morning of just hold on and keep holding on and how to hold on and what to hold on to. Because like in this picture depicted, let's say that bird can't hold out forever. The Bible says this, weeping will last for a night. But you need to know that the Bible also says there will be joy in the morning. And I've never, ever seen a marriage, and I can tell you this from my own personal marriage, you can't go through the hell I've been through in my marriage and it still be together if either one of us would have decided to let go. I've never seen a marriage not make it when both decided to hold on. I've never seen anybody go through financial difficulties and not recover as long as they continued to hold on. Now, I've met a lot of people that have given up in both those arenas. Now, you say, well, Craig, what about health? I've been in hospitals with a lot of people over the years and prayed for people with health issues. And I can honestly tell you this, and I'm telling you the truth as I'm standing here. I've never seen anyone in a hospital lose in a health battle that was willing to fight their way out. Now, I've been with a lot of people. I've been in a lot of hospitals where someone would... I've been in the death rooms when people would pass. But every single instance I have ever been in there, they would say this, I'm ready. Or they would say, I've made my peace. I want you to know something. Your battle's victory will determine whether or not you are willing to hold on or you're willing to let go. Because God has given you, the Bible says, the victory. The truth of the matter is, are you willing to hold on long enough for it? The only thing that will cause you to lose is if you give up. Now, I understand there's a lot of times the bird definitely feels bigger than the frog. The bird definitely looks larger than the frog. And as long as that frog's holding on, that bird's getting weaker. But I also understand too, in the midst of the struggle, the frog gets weak too. But the frog is in the better situation than the bird is in. And you are in the better situation, the better position to win this battle than the enemy is. And if you will hold on, I'm telling you, victory is just a matter of time. And I'm going to get into this story with you real quick, and we're going to tear through some things. All right, here we find Joseph, and the first thing it says, he was left alone. I've known this. When I am usually in the middle of my battles, it always feels like I'm the only one. How many of you guys agree that? The enemy's come to you and told you, you're the only one. Now, was Jacob alone in this situation? No, not really. What he really did, if you read just a couple scriptures before, he knew this battle was great. He knew it was intense. And the Bible says that he took his wife and his children and he took them across the river and he put them there and then he came back alone. We picked us up, he's alone. Now, most of the time when most of us are in the midst of our battles, what happens is this. We push everybody else away because we think nobody understands. Nobody's gone through what I'm going through. I'm the only one. Oh, it's me. Po is me. Or however you want to say it. And we find ourselves getting ourselves up. It's amazing to me how how many times when people start going through great difficulty, the first thing they do is run from the herd. It is so amazing to me that way. When I watch the National Geographic channels and you see the huge herd of wildebeest moving around and the lions stalking around behind them, they lions never go for the center of the herd. They always go for the one that got off to itself. The one that was either too weak or one that wasn't paying attention. They always go for the one. And you need to know this. If you are in a great struggle, if you're going through it, do not allow yourselves to get alone. Do not do it. And this is a strong spiritual warning to you. He can't defeat you if you do not separate yourself. The Bible says this. The Bible says that when Paul and Silas were put in jail, if you go into Acts, this is what it says. It says when Paul and Silas went into jail, they messed up. Because it says it put them two in the cell. When you keep them in the, they can't be defeated. Bible says a one-banded cord can be easily broken, but a three-stranded cord cannot be. When you put numbers with your battle with yourself, but see, when you pull yourself, I tell you, in a marriage, when a husband pulls away from a wife, or a wife pulls away from a husband, when a dad pulls away from a kid, or when you begin to see separation, you need to know this. You are on your way to giving up. Do not let the enemy get you alone. Because when you're alone, see, and it's more than you not being able to handle it. The Bible says one to put 1,000 to flight. That's pretty good. But the Bible says when you keep two together, it does not go from just one and go one will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 2,000. It says one will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000. That's not even good math. And in that, you say, well, that's multiplication. No, that's not multiplication. Two times one is not 10,000. That's a miracle. When you stay connected with who God has put you with, it is a miracle. Say it to you like this. When people usually go into great battles, they start pulling out of church. Do you know that's the only thing the Bible says that the devil cannot prevail against? Bible says this, upon this rock I'll build my church. And the church, the gates of hell will not be able to prevail. It is always amazing to me. And I've been there. I've been times where I would pull back and try to step back and get away from. And every time I ever have, I've looked at defeats in my own life. And it was because I would pull away. He could not touch me as long as I was together. And see, Jacob set himself up here for failure by getting himself alone. But like we talked about last week, the attributes of God, you need to know this. If you are in here alone this morning, you need to know this. God never leaves you. Amen. We talked last week about God being good and the attributes of God. And I want you to know, if He's good all the time, that means when He's with you, He's good to you all the time. We'll get into a few more of the attributes in just a minute, but let's go on through the story. It says, and a man, capital M. See, we think it was a man here. Theologians believe it could be an angel, or believe it could be, with it being a man, capital M being the Son of God here, being God, or even Jesus he was wrestling with that night. I don't know. But I know it was a capital M. And anytime you put a capital M on something, it's an important thing. And so it says, he was wrestling with a man. It says, with him until the break of day. Now, like I said, hold on. Don't give up. It says, hold on. Because this, it says, the break of day is very important. Because the Bible says this. What the break of day means is this. It means that it's only a matter of time before something majorly changes in your life. I don't know, like say, if you're a deer hunter, how many guys are deer hunting nowadays? I mean, you're out there, and to be a good deer hunter, you're out there before daylight. And so if you're getting there after daylight, you know what I'm saying? I'm telling you, you're probably missing some of your best deer day. But it's weird because it's when it says the break of dawn, it feels just like that. It's like you're sitting out there and it's always, you've heard it said, darkest before dawn. If you've ever got up before daylight and been looking out the window, or if you've been on a deer stand and you're out there before dark, it's like for the first, I used to try to get out on my deer stand 30 minutes before dark, and that would be before daylight, and that would be the longest 30 minutes of the hunt. And what would take place is, it would seem like it would get darker and darker and darker. If you're a hunter, you know this exact feeling. You're sitting, when you first get out there on your stand, you can see through the woods a little bit, but it's like it gets darker and darker. And right before the sun breaks through, you can't see past your blind. It's amazing. It's like the darkness tries to come in and shut in on you. But and then a blink of an eye. If you've been outside and seen this take place, you know exactly what I'm doing. In a blink of an eye, you'll blink once and open up, and it's like everything began to look different. And the sun won't even be to where you can see it yet. But everything looks different. This was what was taking place here. It says, and at the break of dawn, there was fixing to be a breakthrough. Something great was about to take place. Something was about to change. And right before it did, the Bible says, the angel or the man that he was wrestling with tried to get him to let go. He said, let me go, for daybreak's coming. Now, I'm going to get into some weird theology with you real quick. Is that all right? Is that okay with you guys? Because this stuff always interests me. What do you think that angel had to go at daybreak? Where do you think he had to go? This is very important to me, because what you need to understand is what you're going through today can change within 24 hours. Completely. The Bible says this. The Bible says that in heaven there's a throne. And on that throne is surrounded by 24 elders. And each one of those elders are holding a bowl. And each one of their bowls they're holding is what it is. It's holding the prayers of the saints. And at one at a time they come up and they pour those prayers out. And those prayers come up to God. Now, breaking of dawn is very important, because theologians believe the reason why there's 24 elders around the throne is because every hour on the hour somewhere on this planet is dawn. And every hour on the hour, one of those angels walk forth and pour out the prayers of the saints. So that tells me this, it's always dawn somewhere. You may not see what's going on, but it's always dawn. And you need to know this. The Bible says His mercies are new. When? Every morning. I'm so glad circumstances can change within 24 hours a day. I mean, every hour on the hour. And what you're going through today will not be exactly what you're going through tomorrow. Why? Because God never quits working. He don't get off at 5 and He don't go to work at 9. Every hour on the hour, He is doing something on our behalf. He is, as them angels are pouring out prayers out of those bowls that they're, He's answering prayers and He's working on your behalf, and He's doing, even when it's so dark you can't see. The greatest miracles in the Bible took place in the dark. The Bible says that in the beginning, that God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was void and without form, and there was darkness covered the face of the earth. God spoke the loudest when it was the darkest. God made the biggest changes at the darkest times. What do you think the inside of Jesus' tomb looked like before the rock cracked open? They had sealed it. They didn't have electricity. It was dark. God does the greatest miracles at the break of dawn. And you need to understand, if something right now is trying to convince you to give up, you need to know that if you'll just hold on. Because He said, let me go, let me go, let me go. He said, I've got the day is breaking. I have a job to do, is what He was doing. The Bible says, you know, Jacob, the same guy, had seen a ladder where the angels were ascending and descending at dawn. God's very busy. and things are happening. All the way through the Bible, you see David used to get up, rise up early in the morning to seek Him, because you need to know something. That today, in the morning, will be different than this morning. Why? Because God is constantly at work doing things on your behalf, even when they're dark. And when the break of dawn, I love it because I get up every day expecting that I got up at 4:36 this morning. My alarm was set for 5:15. I got up so excited and expecting that when the sun came up today, I was going to have a breakthrough in a certain area. Why? Because I knew that the break of dawn was about to be here. I'm telling you, the very thing trying to keep you in bed today is the very thing you need to understand. When that sun comes up, see, there were times in my life where I had separated myself and gotten away and been going through things, looking at how bad my problems were and fighting what seemed like everything, and I would think this, oh no, another day, I got to do. I'm telling you, that's changed in my life now. I am so excited to get out of bed because I cannot wait to see what breakthrough God's going to bring about in my life today. Because if He went through the trouble of making this day, He went through the trouble, because He's good at lining up good things for me. And so it says, he said it was the break of day. And now it says this, and now when he saw that he had not prevailed against him. This is amazing. The angel, or the man, the capital M man, was shocked that he did not beat Jacob. He looked at him and thought, when he went into that fight, that's not going to be any problem at all. And it says, he looked at him and was shocked that he could not beat him. I want you to know something. If you would understand that the devil cannot beat you, he cannot do it. He can't. It don't matter how big, how bad, what it seems like, what it feels like, what it sounds like. He cannot beat you. You need to know. We used to fight a lot in high school, and there were a lot of times. I remember there was this guy named Charlie Stewart that beat the living snot out of me, and I'm used to big guys beating me up. This was not a big guy. I was not a big guy. He was my size. So I thought, this might be one I can win. And when I got into it, I was shocked because he beat me like I was a little boy. And I was stood by. And to this day, I totally respect Charlie Stewart. That was a little man that could whoop you hard. And I see when I read this, it says he was shocked. I want to tell you this. You may look in a mirror and think you're nothing. You may look in a mirror and see every battle you've ever been beat in the past. But I want you to know, there's something on the inside of you that if you will decide not to let go, you don't give up in this, you're going to shock the devil that he could not beat you in this arena. Because you have to know he can't. He's going to be shocked that your marriage made it through it. He's going to be shocked that your health made it. He's going to be shocked because what he meant for bad, the Bible says, we talked about last week, God will turn for good as long as you don't give up. It might be a David and Goliath story you're dealing with today, but you need to understand, Goliath was shocked when that little boy come running down. But what shocked him even more is when that little boy threw a rock. See, you just don't got to stand and take it. You get to fight the whole way through. And the Bible says that Jacob was willing to fight, and it was shocked. It shocked him. And it says, so the angel played dirty. Reached down, it says, and touched him in his side, taking his leg out of socket. Now, I don't know if you've ever dislocated anything, but that hurts. Hurts. I've dislocated my shoulder several times. And if you want to see me cry like a baby, you dislocate my shoulder. I will cry. I can't imagine your leg being dislocated, taken out of its socket. I can't imagine the pain. And I want you to know something. The pain that this battle you're in may be causing you, I don't belittle it by no means in saying that it may not be great pain. By the way, it's great to have David and Mary home, isn't it? They've been living life like God wants them to live it. They've been on vacation, enjoying the good things. Bob says, taste and see. Good to have you guys home. But it was, see, is that you may have been going through great pain. What Miss Cindy's been walking through, that's been tough. I'm not belittling this stuff at all. And I'm not just saying buck up and hold on. I'm saying what you're going through is real. To the point where it will cause you to walk differently when it's over. But God will use your new walk if you understand the walk to change everything. Now we're going to get into it real quickly. He said this, took his socket out, and he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." There's fixing to be a breakthrough. If the enemy is trying to get you to give up, the enemy is trying to get you to let go, the enemy is trying to get you to walk away, if the enemy is trying to get you to quit, if the enemy is trying to get you so discouraged that you don't see him, you need to know, the day is about to break. If there's anything I felt like the Lord told me to come and share today, was this: hold on, you're about to have a breakthrough. As long as you do not let go in this area. Then this is what it says. It said this, but he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." You got to decide. I've done been through this thing. This thing's been bad enough. I've gone this way. It's been hell this long. I'm going to get something out of this. Jacob had something rise up inside of him that said, let that picture of our bird. You know what I picture in my mind that bird was thinking? Bring that picture back up, Joe. This is what I see that bird, that frog thinking. See, at first when it took place, I see the frog thinking this: I'm not going to be his lunch. But somewhere in this struggle, I see the frog starting to think, I'm having chicken for dinner. There will have to be something that rises up on the inside of you to understand you're not going through this for nothing. What the enemy meant for harm, God will turn for good, for your good. So that means this hell you've been going through, this pain you've been dealing with, you will get a prize out of this situation. I want you to know that I got the best marriage you could ever possibly have. I am married to the most amazing woman, and it wasn't because it's been smooth sailing, it's because there was a time where we both were ready to give up. But we didn't give up. My finances are good. I got some money. And it's not because it's been easy and I don't have to work hard. It's because I didn't give up in the way the Bible told me to do it. I'm telling you, I wrote tithe checks that were tough to write. But I just decided I'm not going to give up. If I'm going to go through it, I got to be honest with you. I've never been only 10% from being broke. I've either been broke or I haven't been broke. 10% did not break me. But I can tell you this, that 10% would have broke me if I would have gave up. In the area of your finances, it's huge. He said, I will not let you go. We're going to go through this real fast. He says, and he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." What you have to know about this is, that's not the first time he was asked that question. There was a time before when Jacob was still doing things the way Jacob did things. And he was doing it in his own power, and he was doing it in his own strength. And he had done tricked his brother out of his birthright. And his brother done traded, which was a shyster and a trickster. I like to think of it the pre-salvation Jacob. And I know this, there's so many things in my life I've done this way. For years, I tried to make things happen and tried to make things work my way. When I do them my way, what happens is this: I end up just like Jacob. When I read about Jacob, the reason why I like Jacob so much is because I usually replace the word Jacob. This is one of them times I'm selfish in the Bible and I read cricket, because crickets deceive people, crickets cheated people, crickets done people wrong. And here the Bible says before that Jacob, what he did was he tricked his brother out of his birthright. And then when it got time to get his birthright, he didn't trust God to do what was right, like was prophesied over his life. And the Bible said this: so he went and put hair on his arm, and he went and made himself stink and musty, and went and cooked him and brought it to his dad, and his dad was going blind. And the Bible says he reached out and he rubbed him, and he said, "What is your name?" And Jacob lied. He said, "My name is Esau." I want you to know something. If you've always had to do it and try to feel like it was in your power and you had to make it happen, you've been missing out on the greatest level of life you can live on. When we let God do it for us, It doesn't compare. And see, so before, the test that came to Jacob was this. When he, there was a prophecy over Jacob that he was going to rule, be the head of that family. The oldest son was supposed to get the birthright. And when it got time for that to happen, he did not trust God. He did it in his own flesh. He did it. He thought, you know what? God's not going to make this thing come about the way he said it was, so I'm going to have to do something about it. So he tricked, he lied, he deceived, he did it on his own. I don't know how many times I've done this thing in my life. Like I said, I have a hard time trusting that God's going to make me happy, so I'll go out and try to do something that'll make me happy. Or I don't trust that God can bless me in the way God said, so I'll go out and do it the way I think it needs to happen. And what happens is this, it costs you years of torment. When Jacob lied to his daddy that day and he said, "What is your name?" He said, "It's Esau." For the next several years, Jacob's life got extremely hard. He had to work 14 years when he was only supposed to work half the time for the woman he was going to marry. He had to run for his life. He had to take care of other people. I mean, his life was hell. He was struggling day by day. But he learned in this struggle. The angel said, "What is your name?" The Lord gave him a test. "Are you going to do it the way you've always done it? Or are you going to do it my way this time?" "So what is your name?" And this is what he said. He said, "My name is Jacob." He told the truth. And when he told him the truth, this is what the Lord said. He says, he said, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob. But it's going to be no longer deceiver, cheater, having to do it on your own, figure out your own way. Your name is going to be Israel," which means prince. And you know the benefit of being a prince? The king does it for you. The king provides everything you need. And when he quit doing it on his own, and he was able to trust God, even in the middle of that struggle, he decided, "I'm not going to let you go, God. I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to give up. I may have made mistakes." And I'm sure that in that battle, he was throwing some dirty punches. I'm sure he wasn't fighting fair because the angel wasn't fighting fair. Knocked his leg out of his socket. You know, there was a dirty fight going on here. He said, "But I'm not giving in this thing. I'm going to get blessed. If I'm going to go through it anyway, I'm going to not give up this close to the end. I'm about to get my breakthrough, and God will bless me in a way that I cannot imagine." And we'll get into the rest of it. I want to close by saying this. A lot of people don't know how to hold on. I need to talk about how to hold on real quick, because a lot of times what happens in our lives is this. We start going through a struggle, and because we don't know how to hold on, we try to hold on. You might help me again, Mr. Allen? When you don't know how to hold on, and you try to hold on, what happens is, you're trying to hang on, because we don't know how to hang on, what happens is, we end up being burned or hurt while we're trying to hold on, and we end up getting to where we can't hold on. If I were to just hold on to this rope and pull and pull and pull and pull, and I'm pulling in a struggle, you got to understand, the angel he was struggling with, in Psalms it says this, angels are 10,000 more times stronger than men are. That's amazing Jacob could keep this fight up, because this angel was a bad, bad guy. They can fight. And he was able to hold his own. That's how bad he knew that I can't let go. I don't know if he was throwing punches or if he was fighting. I hate watching them. Do y'all watch MMA fights where you get the one guy that likes to fight in the air on the feet and the other guy likes to fight on the ground? And I got to be honest with you. The guys that fight on the ground usually win. Takes a long time. It ain't near as exciting, but it's when they get on. And see, when I read this story about Jacob in the fight and it dealing with his leg, I see him as being one of those jujitsu guys that gets him in the leg hold and the pinch on, holding on so tight. And the angel, I think, touched him in the leg, trying to get his legs off of him. He had him in that death hold. You've seen it. Have y'all seen the MMA fights? Am I the only one to watch that, John? I'd rather see the fist fight up here because it's more sensational. But I'm sure they were hugged up on the ground. And Jacob may not even have got a single throw in, but he's the one that got to walk away with the prize. If all you may not can fight, all you may can do is hold on, you need to know how to hold on. And see, if you're holding on to this rope with all you got, and there's not, you don't know how to hold on to the rope, what happens is, you'll end up being hurt and burned and scarred. And what will happen is next time you'll think in your struggle that you're going through that if I hold on that same way, God's going to end up leaving me that same way too, and I'm going to be broke, burned, and hurt and scarred, and I'm not going to. And so we don't even go into it trying to hold on. I got to teach you how to hold on. This is the way when you go into a fight, or go into a, if we were playing tug of war here, and I don't know how to hold on this rope, I could end up, honestly, getting scarred, hurt, burned, rope burned. But if I know how, then I can make it. Let me tell you the trick to holding on. That right there, gives me the advantage to win this battle. You have to put a knot in it. With a knot in it, you can hold on. Now, I'm going to make, thank you, sir. I'm going to make sense out of this. I got to tell you what the knot is. Okay? Here's the knot. We've got 5 minutes. For you to hold on in your struggle, you need a knot. Your knot is called faith. Now, I'm going to break it down to you. That sounds awesome. But you cannot go into a fight, a struggle, and not have faith and make it. As a matter of fact, you cannot go through a storm. You can't go through a storm without faith and make it out. The Bible says Jesus, when the storm came on the disciples, he was able to walk up on the sand and speak to the mount, to the storm, and it got still. Why? Because he was the only one on the boat that had faith. All the other disciples were in great fear. Let me show it to you like this. You know, in every storm, there is the presence of the sun. Did you know that? Every storm has the presence of, whether the storm is above it, or whether the sun, every storm, the sun is there. The sun exists. Now the thing about it is, see, when there's always a storm and there's always a sun, what is there always supposed to be? A rainbow. How many of you guys have seen a storm coming up and there's a sun and you see the rainbow? What the rainbow is a promise. And what a promise is faith. Anytime you go into a storm without knowing you have a rainbow, you won't see the sun break through. Does that make sense to you? Why did God give us rainbows? Because it's proof that the sun exists in the middle of your storm. What is a rainbow? A rainbow is a promise that God has given. And see, a lot of us don't understand that we have to get the promise first for the sun to appear in the middle of the storm. Jesus did not walk up on the boat and say, God, you want to calm this down? He had the promise first. So when he was able to step onto the bow of the boat, he was able to see the sun come through. The difference in winning your struggle and not is you having a promise, which is faith. Every struggle you're in right now can only be won, or you can only hold on through with the process of a knot or with the process of faith. Now, what the problem is, a lot of us don't know what faith is. This is what faith is. Faith is knowing and hearing what God has said about your situation. Now, the problem with faith is this. You can hear it and know it and not do it. And what does the Bible say when we don't do what God says? It says faith is dead. So can you have faith and it not work? The Bible says if faith without works is what? Dead. So there can be dead faith. You can know it and hear it over until you put the process of it to work. Then what happens is it doesn't work for you. So why can good people give up in bad struggles? Because they can know it and they get that. I'm telling you, I don't understand how people can go to church or can skip church. Even in my toughest days, I would still make sure I was getting around church, because if you get nothing else out of here, if you don't have a single friend, you don't have a single moment that connects with you to God and the presence of God, you don't feel it, you're still hearing the Word of God. And the Word of God is all you need to get through your struggle, to get you to a place of being blessed. Faith can be broke down like this. The Bible says in Romans 12, chapter 3, that every man has been given it. Problem with it is, a lot of times, we don't understand that we have it. And because we don't understand that we have it, we don't use it. And when you don't use something, it doesn't mean you don't have it. It just means it's not being all it could be. For example, Brother Maurice, can I borrow you? Because you're a good example of this. Would you mind coming up here to say? You need to understand something. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, it says that God given every single person in here a measure of faith. Meaning we have the exact same amount. We all have the exact same amount. Now, there's a reason why I picked Brother Maurice, because there's a major difference between me and Brother Maurice. The major difference is this. Well, first you got to understand there's a great similarity. Me and him have the exact amount of muscles in our body as the other one does. The exact same amount. Now, if we were to get here and arm wrestle, which one would you put your money on? Everybody in the room would say Brother Maurice. That's why I picked him. Not because he has more muscle than me, right? But because his muscles have been used in ways that mine have not been used. His have gotten bigger. They have been exercised more. And there is a distinctive difference in his muscle strength and my muscle strength. And so if you were going to go into a arm wrestling match, you would be dumb to put your money on me if I was arm wrestling him. Because it's a physical, you can see the difference. But you got to understand, there's not a number different. We have the exact same. God made us both with the same amount. Do you understand that? So why is it that two people can go through the same struggle and one make it and one not? It's not that neither one of them have faith, because the Bible says he has the exact same amount of faith as I have. It says he gave each the measure, meaning we were given the exact amount. He has it and I have it. But if I have never used mine, then his will always be stronger than mine. And so now that we have the amount, you need to know, in Romans 12 it says you already have it. You already have the ability to put a knot in. And that's how you would, thank you, sir. So that's how you make it. You make it because the knot. But the thing about it is this, if you don't use it, it don't work for you. Now check this out. The definition of faith is this. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now that's all big and crazy and all that. Let me tell you another definition of faith. This is faith. Faith is this. Faith is you submitting your will to God's will. Make it as simple as, because I get confused in the faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, because there's a lot of ways to go there. But the simplest form of this is this. The simplest definition for faith is you doing it God's way and not your way. How do I put a knot in my rope? You do it God's way and not your way. Because when you do it God's way, then you are... See, how did Jacob know to hold on? Because he knew that God wanted to bless him. He knew that God was good. He knew that God had forgiven him for what he knew. There was a knowing. He said, how do, because the angel didn't say, if you can hold on long enough, I'll give you a blessing. He knew it going into the battle. He already had a measure of faith. And when he began to use his measure of faith, he was able to do things that he couldn't do before. What other people, he could hold on in a battle when no one else could. It shocked even the enemy because he knew. And what Jacob decided was this, I'm going to do this God's way, not my way. Let me show it to you in the New Testament. What did Jesus pray? Father, in the greatest struggle that he was going through, how did Jesus know it was going to be okay? Jesus, the Bible says, dealt with the same fears, went through the same physical pain, still had the same... The Bible says that anything that was common to you was common to Jesus. How did Jesus know that if he let himself go to the cross, it would still be okay? Because he was willing to walk in faith, and this is faith. Father God, not my will, but your will. I'm here to tell you, in the middle of your struggle, the only way you're going to make it through is the same way Jacob made it through, and that's with faith. And the only way you're going to make it through with faith is hearing what God's will is. And then the way you get through that, you take what God's will is and you have to make a conscious decision. God, I'm not going to do it the way I've always done it. Jacob had always done it one way, but in this struggle, in this battle, he did not fail because he said this. He said, I'm not going to do it my way. I'm going to do it your way. Jesus was able to go through the cross, the garden. He was at a swim way. He said, not my will, but your will. Faith is deciding that I'm not going to do it my way. I'm going to do it your way. I heard this the other day. What will people know you by? What will people know you by? When your life is over, if you had to say, what will people... Are people going to know you by how much money you left in your bank account? The truth is, some people will be known, because we read in history about rich people. The truth of the matter is this too. Some people will be known by how sweet and kind they were. Some people will be known by what they possess and how much they've conquered. Some people will be known by how angry of a person and how mean they were. Some people will be known by the addictions and the issues they allowed to stay in their life. But I'm going to tell you, if you'll focus your life on being known for this one thing, it'll change everything in your life. Go to Hebrews chapter 11 and we're closing. If people that know you don't know you by this one thing, then I can promise you, you're experiencing defeat in certain areas of your life. People must know you by your faith. If you're going to win in the struggle that you're in, the people that are around you, the people that you speak to, the people that see you, and they know it, and people always watch, they're going to have to know what your faith is in this area. Because if they don't know what your faith is, I'm telling you, they won't see the victory come out in your life, because that means you don't have the faith. But read this in Hebrews 11, starting in verse 4. It says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Verse 8, by faith, Enoch was taken away. Verse 7, by faith, Noah. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham. Verse 11, by faith, Sarah. By faith, all of these died. But by faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar, are assured of them. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Joseph. I don't care what you think people will know you by. If they don't know you by your faith, they will not know you one. And you're going to have to make the decision that I'm not going to make it through this thing unless I'm going to make it through it with faith. Faith is the knot that keeps you in your struggle. And you're going to have to make the decision that I'm going to allow people to know, see, because the way I'm going to get through this, I'm going to get through it by my faith. It's not by my actions or my way. You could have blown it all the way up to this point, but you can change blowing it by simply getting a hold of faith. What is faith? Doing it God's way, not your way. When you do it God's way, not your way, your battle changes. When you do it God's way, not your way, your breakthrough comes. When you do it God's way, not your way, weeping lasted up till now, but your joy begins to be released. And this is all I can say, and I pray that you get this, and we're going to close with this, is this. Whatever you're going through, hold on. It cannot and does not and will not defeat you. As long as you keep a hold of what God has promised you by faith. And the only way you can do that is by doing it His way, not your way. Cain, the Bible said, did this. He did what he felt like doing. Did what he felt like doing. The Bible said this right there in Hebrews. It says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. I don't know what you feel like doing, but you better decide you're going to do it God's way and not your way. You might feel like leaving her. You better do this God's way, not your way. You may feel like giving up. You better do this thing God's way, not your way. You may feel like keeping it all to yourself. You better do it God's way, not your way. Because by faith, Cain, because you need to understand that. Do you know what the end result for Cain was? He did what he felt like. Not what he should have done. Not God demanded a blood sacrifice. Cain brought him what was easy for him to. The Bible says that he worked the ground and it produced heart, and that's what he brought God. We always think in our minds and in the kibbutz, it had mold and stuff on it. I don't know that. He was a good farmer. But it said this. Abel did it the way God told him to do it. Cain did what he felt like was good enough. Anywhere you feel like it's good enough, you're about to move into an area of curse in your life. Because the Bible said this, he did it and it was, he thought it was good enough. And then what took place was this. The very thing he brought to the Lord, the curse on Cain was this. The ground will never produce for you again. So if you're going through it anyway, you better do it God's way, because what will happen is what you've been able to do in the past will never work for you again. That drug will never be able to get you high enough again. That alcohol will never be able to get you drunk enough again. Those relationships will never satisfy you the way they satisfied you again. Because if you don't do it God's way, you're not doing it by faith. But this is what the Bible says. That if I want God to be pleased with me, it doesn't have to be big, doesn't have to be sensational. All I have to do it is by faith. And if I'll do it by faith, what does it say? All things are possible. If you're here today and you say, Cricket, I haven't been doing it by faith. I've been doing it my way. I've been living my way. I've been talking my way. I've been running my way. I've been doing it the way I feel like doing it. But I'm about to give up in this struggle. I'm just here to tell you this. Hold on. Do it the way God said do it. Get in the Word and find out what He said do it, and there's no way you can lose.